Welcome back to Author Tutorials. My name is Ezekiel Oburu. This is a podcast that's dedicated to providing a comprehensive insight to orthopedics for medical students while not making it too complicated. And today we'll be diving into the intricate world of hallux valgus deformity in adults, commonly known as banions. So let's go. Hallux valgus, often referred to as a banion, is not just a cosmetic concern. It involves complex deformities of the adult foot. And these have various components. This is important because when I see a patient with hallux valgus and they are in my office because they're not happy with how their foot looks and they don't have any pain, I immediately tell them that, well, unless the other symptoms or unless the other signs, like the second toe is affected or other toes are affected or the patient has got pain below the second toe, I usually advise them against surgery. So it's not just a cosmetic concern. It is actually a problem that needs to be addressed. So where do we get the name banion? Well, a banion is derived from the Greek word banion, meaning turnip. It is characterized by osseous and cartilaginous enlargements of the medial eminence accompanied by swelling of the soft tissue bursa. The term is a broad catch for various causes leading to enlargement of the first metatarsophalangeal joint. So you may have a banion even in another condition. For example, a patient may have first metatarsophalangeal joint arthritis and you don't really have a hallux valgus, but you have a swelling of that region. People may refer to it as a banion. So what are the components of a hallux valgus? Well, this includes deviation of the grade 2, medial deviation of the first metatarsal, and enlargement of the medial eminence. And these are important because this may help us in trying to manage the condition. So what do you do when you manage the condition? Well, number one, you need to take a thorough history and physical examination. Remember, the patients may just come for cosmesis, but we don't operate because of cosmesis. Remember that there is no medical condition that surgery cannot make worse. That doesn't mean we don't operate on patient. It just means that we need to have a very good reason before we operate. So patient may present with pain, especially around the medial eminence, and may experience decreased function and tolerating of shoes. They may also say that the other toes are affected. During physical examination, we assess the range of motion of the first metatarsophalangeal joint, the mobility of other joints, and then we may also assess the foot, checking for pes planus, vascular and neurological issue. The differential diagnoses include a dorsal banion or arthritis of the toe, rheumatoid, gout, and bursitis. So, how does radiology help us in this? Well, we need to do x-rays, and it's important that we do weight-bearing x-rays, both the AP and the lateral view. And here we want to measure the hallux valgus angle, the intermetatarsal angle, the distal metatarsal articular angle, and the relative length of the first and the second metatarsal together with the sesamoid position with regards to the head of the metatarsal. So with these x-rays, we are now armed to classify the hallux valgus, and they can be classified into mild, moderate, and severe. The mild hallux valgus has a hallux valgus angle less than 20 degrees, inner metatarsal angle less than 11 degrees, and lateral sesamoid subluxation less than 50%. The moderate has a hallux valgus angle between 20 and 40 degrees, inner metatarsal angle between 13 and 16, and lateral sesamoid subluxation between 50 and 75%. The severe has a hallux valgus angle of more than 40 degrees, intermetatarsal angle of more than 16 degrees and lateral sesamoid subluxation of more than 75%. This classification will affect the management. So, how do we manage this? Well, there is conservative management in patients with mild to moderate hallux valgus. Focus on lifestyle modification, proper shoe wear, shoes with a wide toe box. You may also do toe spaces, stretching exercises, pain management, and you regularly just monitor the condition. What about surgical management? Well, surgical management, really, there are very many options. Now we even have the minimal invasive options, MIS. But I don't think that the types of surgeries are really within the scope of this podcast. Just know that if a patient cannot cope, if a patient is having a lot of pain, if the other lesser toes are affected, then this patient is a candidate for surgery and should be referred for surgical treatment. What is the post-operative management? Well, one may need to rehabilitate just to ensure that the patient has range of motion on the toe that has had surgery. One may also do x-rays to see how much correction has been achieved. So, conservative management is the initial approach, focusing on evaluating the patient's footwear and suggesting adjustment. Surgical correction becomes necessary when conservative measures fail, addressing pain, deformity, and functional limitations. Surgical goals should include relieving pain, correcting deformity, realigning biomechanics, and retaining adequate motion of the metatarsophalangeal joint. The chosen surgery must address all elements of the problem. Now, you know, there are very many procedures. Like I said, we don't really have the time, and it's not within the scope of this podcast to talk about the various procedures. Just know that if a patient needs surgery, then they should be referred to an orthopedic surgeon. As we conclude our deep dive into hallux valgus, it's crucial for medical students to grasp the intricacies of diagnosis and treatment options. Stay tuned for more ortho tutorials, where we'll continue to unravel the mysteries of orthopedics. Thank you for joining us today on Ortho Tutorials. Don't forget to subscribe for future episodes. If you have any specific topics you'd like us to cover, feel free to reach out. Until next time, keep learning and exploring the fascinating world of orthopedics. Thank you.